Happy New Year, everyone. It's December 31st, 2023. And as promised, I'm recording a New Year's Eve meditation. So if you have time to listen to this today in some stillness, great. And if not, obviously you can in the days ahead. 2023 has been so challenging for most people that I know, including myself. And when we think of global events and a lot of suffering on the level of form and in our own personal lives, I think it's so important to remember that there are many levels that we are experiencing seeming reality. And if I am to distill some of the most important truths I've learned this year, and truths that I have learned experientially, not just through book learning or tracking beautiful ideas, which is a love of mine, but increasingly I'm finding that experiential learning, this sort of embodied wisdom, like we began to talk about last time with talking about Sophia, it's the wisdom that really matters to me. And if I were to, again, distill my journey in 2023, I've been embracing the heart's desires because through all of the mental disciplines you and I have been embracing, that has been the guiding beacon for that. But what I've discovered here, even in the last week, is that the reason that that is so valuable and such an important practice to know is okay. You know, I think if we've had a lot of religious training in the background of our lives, we may resist like, oh, I get to have desires or whatever. We've sort of talked about that in the past. But what's happening with heart's desires is you are actually picking up on a frequency of you in your fullness that already exists. And to get to experience that, you are becoming more fully yourself because you're having to drop away the old identities that you are not. And so 2023 for me has been massive in terms of stripping away identities. So many identities have been stripped away in 2023. And because of the Transurfing and the Neville Goddard practices, it's been a lot less painful than it surely could have been. There's still been a lot of discomfort and a lot of leaning into the unknown and making that my home and making that my friend and allowing that to envelop me and take exquisite care of me in the process of stripping down these old identities. So yes, the heart's desires coming into view, living from the realization of those, that is an extraordinary thing. But even more so, what I'm seeing even again in the last week in this Christmas time, because I celebrate Christmas, but in this deep winter time for those of us in Northern Hemisphere, this time of stillness and rebirth, I've increasingly been experiencing my authentic self as beingness and love. That's it. And realizing that beingness and love are actually the rocket fuel. Not my doing, not my explaining, not my understanding, just feeling the isness, the I am state, and the love and the tenderness and the wealth that accompanies that, that's like even eclipses my heart's desires. And I've had some exquisite moments of that here very, very recently, but they came after releasing another identity. So if you too are in that sort of push-pull, it can feel like, where you're releasing a deep identity, just know that there's something so extraordinary, which is you, which is me, which is all of us, minus our identities, holding you there and moving through you, animating your life, your dreams, your heart's desires. So we will continue on this thread into the new year, but I just sort of wanted to summarize that again, and I want to share a poem to this effect as well. I know I've shared this with us before, but it's so appropriate for this moment as the year is passing into the new, and as we are becoming more of ourselves. This is Buoyancy by Rumi. Love has taken away all my practices and filled me with poetry. I tried to keep quietly repeating, "No strength but yours," but I couldn't. I had to clap and sing. I used to be respectable and chaste and stable, but who can stand in this strong wind and remember those things? A mountain keeps an echo deep inside itself. That's how I hold your voice. I am scrap wood thrown in your fire and quickly reduced to smoke. I saw you and became empty. This emptiness, more beautiful than existence. It obliterates existence. And yet when it comes, existence thrives and creates more existence. The sky is blue. The world is a blind man squatting on the road. But whoever sees your emptiness sees beyond blue and beyond the blind man. A great soul hides like Muhammad or Jesus, moving through a crowd in a city where no one knows him. To praise is to praise how one surrenders to the emptiness. To praise the sun is to praise your own eyes. Praise the ocean. What we say, a little ship. So the sea journey goes on, and who knows where. Just to be held by the ocean is the best luck we could have. It's a total waking up. Why should we grieve that we've been sleeping? It doesn't matter how long we've been unconscious. We're groggy, but let the guilt go. Feel the motions of tenderness around you. The buoyancy. That is what is waiting for us. That is what is always with us when we can let these other identities, when we can let the doing go. When we can feel that everything we've ever wanted is emerging from inside of us. We can live it now. We can live it now because it's all internal and it's finding its way through our very heart into our external world so that we may enjoy it. But you are the source. You are the point of origin for all of that. And as I deepen into my own experiential knowing of that, again, it even eclipses my beautiful heart's desires, which are very much alive, which are very much at the fore of my consciousness. But this is even larger than that. This is like the sun. And it's a beautiful agency to take into the new year, a guiding principle that the most exquisite thing we could ever imagine experiencing in our material world is small compared to getting to be us, the real us, because that inner divinity is not just, as the poem says, being chaste or reliable or whatever it says. It's so beyond that. I remember a quote from a long ago, and I can't even give it proper attribution, but It said something to the effect of, the most spiritual awake people don't seem that way. And I really liked that because it's not about being pious or anything like that. It's not about those airs. It's very earthy. It's very grounded. It's very relatable. It's very connected. It's very full of joy and happiness and contentment. And just, you know, I've really been revisiting love, just realizing that I haven't even known what that was till really, really recently. So I just wish that for you, that experience of that for you, as I continue to feel it myself, what it really is. It's not this human limited conception of what we thought it was. So that's my surrender for all of us. The moon is waning, but it will return again in January, and we'll connect again on that soon. Remember, if you want the calendar that we'll be talking about in January, order that. It's certainly not too late to do that. And I have some great shows already planned for the new year. We're going to be having some interesting interviews and opportunities around some offerings there. And we're going to be revisiting the idea of revision, which we've talked about in the past in regards to Neville Goddard, but I was listening to his book on audio in my car again just about a week ago, and I heard something that I'm sure I heard with my ears before, but it really sunk in this time that our revision practice can go back much farther than just the day's events. And I want to definitely talk about that soon. And that sort of connects with this little ping that went off in my consciousness, which I always associate with a guiding, you know, energy helping me along. And it said, revisit the film Interstellar, which I did, which came out in 2014. If you haven't watched that and it speaks to you to revisit that film, do so. And we're going to talk about that soon too, in context with going back further in the quote-unquote past regarding revision, because I just had a whole new chapter of all that that's talking about, and I think I finally understand that film. I loved that film in 2014, but it was just intriguing to me, and I wanted to know more, and now I can actually say I get it, and it's exciting to know how we keep amazing ourselves, you know, with great humility, but amazing ourselves at like, yeah, I see what's happening. This is so exciting. So just giving you all kinds of things to ponder between now and when we next get together. But as I said, today is about having a meditation together, that the new year is really about, for me, and I'm guessing for you, not a bunch of New Year's resolutions to endeavor toward self-improvement. That is really the domain of the work ethic consciousness, which is appropriate and good, and I've done it in the past, but it just seems silly to me now because I feel like there's such a fuller way of going about our beautiful lives. And that is using the imagination in a very intentional way. This is my outlook now. This is my consciousness now. And Neville Goddard's work has been my primary beacon for that. And we're going to be doing a lot more with his work in the coming year as well. But I just want to give a very simple meditation and practice today, because there are four quadrants in our lives. And this was introduced to me by Mary Morrissey's work, but it's also, it just happened to also coincide with how I was thinking about my life, even before I was introduced to her work, which I think is highly valuable work. And it took me most of this year to unpack that my vocation and my financial flow are different aspects of my experience. They can certainly relate to each other, absolutely. But our time and financial freedom is its own animal, if you will. Health, relationships, and then vocation, or what you're doing with your gifts and your talents, even if it's not something you're doing out in the external world as a vocation, that's fine. But these four quadrants sort of exist in their own space. And I'll repeat those again: your health, your relationships, your vocation, or how you're using your talents and your gifts, and then your time and money freedom. And we come into relationship with these quadrants in different ways, but how I like to think about them is taking all that we've traveled with over this past year in particular, and having this practice of in the morning and in the evening, ideally around bedtime or waking up or in a meditative state where you're more receptive in terms of your consciousness, but twice a day, living from, not just thinking about, but living from your best imaginal place in those four quadrants. And you may not have all the particulars yet, but just start with what you have. Just begin with what you have, and it will flesh out from there. You might only have one symbol that feels like it's part of your feeling space about that, but it will gather. I promise you it will. I have this beautiful vision that I've been tending to most of this year, and it actually began about 2 years ago, and it's fleshed out. And only very recently have I stopped thinking about it, and I've started living from it, because actually it dwells in our interiority, in our heart, in our imagination, in our consciousness. So we can always be living from this most beautiful place that covers these four quadrants. And then it's the quantum field, or as Neville calls it, the law. Anyway, however you want to describe that interface that reflects things back to us in the material world, it's that job to bring about the ways and means, the how of how that gets reflected back to us. That law, that quantum field is neutral. It's just bouncing back what we're beaconing out. So let's give it an amazing, beautiful, feeling-filled picture to reflect back to us, and drop the identities that are getting in the way that say, oh, I better go out and help the universe make this happen, or what have you. So this practice of in the morning and in the evening, when you're in a still space, letting those beautiful images dwelling there, being there, sending out that beautiful signal. And then during the day, dropping it. I see how important this is now. It's a walk of faith to do that, to say, I trust that I've done my part, and I'm letting the quantum field, the law, the universe, however you want to say that, do its thing. That's not God we're talking about, or the self with a capital S, or love, or beingness. That is not neutral. That loves us. That is us. That is our divine birthright. That is source. That is who we are. That is just using, if you will, which is kind of a bad term, but anyway, you know what I mean. It's the law, or the quantum field, is the vehicle, the neutral vehicle through which our earth experience is bouncing back at us. But we are so loved and held exquisitely in the care of the divine, because that's our ultimate identity. It took me a while to get that distinction too, but we want to give the quantum field, the law, again, as Neville calls it, the most beautiful pictures to work with. But knowing it's done, dropping it during the day and just living your life with as much joy and acceptance and embrace of all the dualities as possible is key, because our accepting that it is done is creating an incredible vacuum for the quantum field, for the law, to rush in with the images that we can then experience in the material world. So have this practice, I suggest, this is what I'm doing, where we spend time with those images and the feeling and the beautiful knowing of that new home for us, ignoring the external world, except for clerical tasks that you need to tend to, that's fine, but live from this inner being, the quadrants occupying the space of your inner home. Live from that as much as possible. And if you're required to take action in the external world, I've received this wisdom so many times from so many sources throughout the past year. Only take action if you are in a good frame of mind or if it feels light and joyful and inspired. If not, wait. Wash your dishes, that's fine, that's a clerical task. Run stuff to the post office, no problem. But if you are feeling the need to take action, check yourself first. Where is this coming from? If it's coming from fear, don't move. Ask yourself, who am I? Repeat the precious, precious phrase, I am. I am. I am. And soften into the buoyancy around you that's holding you before you take any action. Because we want our action to be aligned with what the quantum field or the law is bringing toward us in the external space. So that's the discipline. That's it. It's not hard. And I think we are leading so much consciousness raising in our world by engaging with this practice first individually and then expanding that. It will expand of its own around us. Us embracing this in our own lives is having ripple effects like we cannot even imagine. And that's such a contribution. So this is my practice going into January. And we'll just take some time now to be still and allow some beautiful thoughts, if they're newly coming to you, about how to live from a beautiful inner picture. What are you picking up? What are you picking up right now? Just follow along with me, with the music, as we visit these four areas of our lives, planting beautiful, fertile seeds into fertile ground for the new year. So to begin with, imagine. What are you picking up on right now regarding your health? How do you move? How do you look in the mirror? What sort of vitality and radiance is present everywhere you go? Can you imagine smiling every time you catch sight of yourself? loving what you see. Can you imagine feeling delight in the way you're able to move? Knowing that perhaps if you've had any health issue in the past, that you can simply let that idea, that identity go. There's only now. And if you don't want to continue having a memory of that, let it go. Drop it. Think only and feel from exquisite health, vitality, youthfulness, no matter what your age is, and well-being. Joyfulness of heart, calmness of spirit, excitement and expectancy, because you are actually picking up on an interior home that already belongs to you. It already exists. Gently move to your relationships. If you have a partner, what is the most beautiful harmony you can imagine between the two of you? No fixing anything is required in the imagination. We simply dwell in the heart's desire. There is nothing that needs fixed. That is the old way of thinking. That is the old former consciousness that may have helped us, but does not apply anymore. Our partner is whole. We are whole. We meet each other with joy and connection. And we're thriving individually as well as together. We look only to our inner life for sustenance and love. And we simply share from our overflowing with our partner. We have fun, we're playful, we're supportive of each other, but only centered on the self. We see the divinity in all of our relationships. If you have children, the same applies. They have their own lives. We see their divinity. And we know life loves them even more than we do. Relationships with friends or coworkers, once again, imagine them flowing beautifully. You are the one animating every relationship, the dynamics therein. So only change your concept of that relationship and watch it shift. The power of our imaginal meditation is unparalleled. We take action from the interior space. And we continue in our non-reaction in the exterior world. What are your relationships doing? How are they thriving? How are they a source of joy for you? Because you are rooting in Source itself. Shift now to the flow of money and time freedom. These resources are simply a reflection of your connection to Source. There are infinite ways that these resources, which are needed in the external world, can flow to you. There are infinite ways to align with wealth, with abundance. Imagine what that flow would look like for you to have the time and the flexibility of external resources to live the life that is your first choice. Your first choice that is available to you if you're working from the inside out. That's the key. What would it look like? How much money is always in your bank account? What vacations or time off is so fun for you to enjoy and plan and dwell in? The how is not our concern. Our job is to enjoy the feeling of arrival, the feeling of freedom. We dwell in the freedom and the abundance and the feelings first. And the law, the quantum field, decides how it gets done. How do you share with others first from your overflowing? First from your overflowing. Because by doing so, we're giving others permission to do the same. We're giving others permission by our example to thrive. How many hours a week do you want to work if you still work externally? That's completely up to you. What feels exhilarating as a possibility? Again, if details are still arriving, let them come. Pay attention. You are homing in on an aspect of your inner life that is already real and calling you home. Let it call you home. It is home. And it's only our job to connect with the beautiful images and feelings from which we enjoy and delight, while the external law, while the external mirror world brings about the miraculous. And finally, what talents, gifts, hobbies, skills, interests are so unique to you? You are a facet of the divine. Singing, dancing, creating, loving, enjoying in your own particular way. What expression, be it through vocation or creativity of some kind, do you just lose track of time doing? Do you love doing? It may end up being a part of your financial flow. But visit the idea first. Visit the images that are home for you, that make your heart sing first and foremost for the joy of doing them. Letting the you of the divine force, of the divine source, flow through. The skills, the interests, the talents, the curiosities that light you up. Imagine how spending time every day doing these things unique to your own expression, feels you lose track of time. That is entering and allying with the infinite. So let these four aspects of home guide your 2024. Allow any resistance or identities that want to rear their head and throw sand in the gears to just fall away. Embrace the resistance and reaffirm that home is home. Your reality is what is true. Prepare for the most beautiful aspect of this entire imagining, and that is touching your essential self. It will find you in the most unexpected moments and in the most unexpected ways, but be expectant of it. It is you. And as beautiful as your dreams are, they will pale in comparison to the absolute joy of feeling that alive, that loved, that held in the tenderness and the buoyancy of the ocean that is all around you. Make this practice your own. Move gently and with a big heart into 2024. And until next time, take good care. Hi, everyone. If you're enjoying this podcast, remember to hit subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And if my work is nourishing your heart and imagination, consider supporting the Apothecary Podcast. Just follow the links to make a contribution. And for the full scope of my projects and offerings, including my weekly newsletter, visit lorigreen.net.